grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, St. Matthew 22, verses 1 and 2. And again Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come." As I looked forward this past week to the dedication of our new organ console this morning, there came to mind some words of a hymn: "All beauty speaks of thee, the mountains and the rivers, the line of lifted sea where spreading moonlight quivers, the deep-toned organ blast that rolls through arches dim, hints of the music vast of that eternal hymn." But as I thought about the state of the world these days, there kept coming to mind some words that were written not long after the end of the Second World War by Dr. Walter Künneth, a German Lutheran theologian who lived through most of the last century. You'll probably recognize the words because I often refer to them. And this is what he had to say: "The course of history, as it has so terribly disclosed itself to us, can only be a confirmation of the Christian insight that all mankind is trembling on the brink of destruction and groaning under the tyranny of death. In this dark night of the world, there is only one single source of light, the joyful news, Christ is risen. In this dark night of the world, there is only one single source of light, the joyful news, Christ is risen." And it's the note of joy that resounds in all the readings from Holy Scripture on this Lord's Day. First, we hear God's word spoken through the prophet Isaiah, inviting the tired and the hungry and the thirsty to come to the banquet of God's freely given mercy and goodness. Then we hear St. Paul exhorting the Christians in Ephesus to address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, always and for everything, giving thanks. And finally, we hear in the gospel read on this day our Lord's parable about a king who prepares a wedding banquet for his son. Yes, it's the note of joy that resounds in all the readings from Holy Scripture on this Lord's Day. But in the parable Jesus tells, we hear not only the unmistakable note of joy in the king's gracious invitation to the wedding banquet for his son, we also hear the unmistakable note of judgment. Some who are invited paid no attention to the king's gracious invitation. While others despise the king's messengers, mistreat them, and even kill them. And Jesus says, the king was angry and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. And then sent his messengers to go into the highways and byways and gather all they found, both the bad and the good. But when the king then comes to greet his guests, he finds a person who's come to the wedding banquet but couldn't be bothered to dress for the occasion. And when the king asks him to explain his behavior, he's speechless. He has no excuse. And the king then tells his servants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This note of judgment provides a dramatic contrast to the joy of the royal wedding banquet. So what does all this mean? Well, this parable was one of several Jesus told in Jerusalem during the very last week of his earthly life. Parables that were intended by him as a final call to repentance. These parables bring to mind God's gracious choice of Israel to be his people, the choice vineyard of God's planting. But the parables also vividly recall the terrible ingratitude of his ancient people, their indifference to his words spoken through the prophets, hating the prophets, rejecting their message, even killing them, a pattern of disobedience now coming to its climax. For St. Matthew tells us that after Jesus told these parables, they tried to arrest him because they realized that Jesus' parables were a word of judgment on them. And aided by the traitor Judas, they finally succeed in arresting him, unjustly condemning him, handing him over to the Roman governor who reluctantly gives the order to crucify him. In all of this, they spurn the heavenly king's gracious invitation to the wedding feast of love and joy. Yes, the royal wedding banquet. There is a sense in which the whole story of salvation in Holy Scripture can be said to be a love story, because it begins with the marriage of our first parents in the beginning and ends with the heavenly marriage supper of the Lamb. And in the Old Testament scriptures, the relationship between God and his people is often portrayed with the imagery of a bridegroom and his bride. And when God's Son finally comes into this world, his forerunner, St. John the Baptist, speaks of himself as the friend of the bridegroom. And the Lord Jesus, in fact, calls himself the bridegroom. For when people asked him why John's disciples fasted and he did not, Jesus replies, can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. And in his letter to the Ephesians, right after the words of today's epistle, St. Paul speaks of marriage as pointing to the mystery of the union of Christ, the heavenly bridegroom, and his bride, the church. And so marriage, the lifelong union of man and woman, isn't something human beings have invented. Marriage is in truth God the Creator's work, which God uses in Holy Scripture as a revealed image of his redeeming, saving work. No one needs to be told that this world needs to be redeemed, needs to be saved. In his beloved Son, God has prepared a banquet of salvation for the whole world. And God's gracious invitation to that banquet is meant for the whole world, no exceptions. This is hinted at in Jesus' parable of the wedding feast, when the king tells his servants to invite everybody they find, both bad and good, both bad and good. Everybody without exception is called to the banquet, and everybody without exception is called to repentance. And when in Jesus' parable we're told about the person cast in the outer darkness because he failed to wear a wedding garment, we are in fact being told that without repentance, there can be no place at the royal wedding banquet. Everyone is invited. Everyone is called to repentance and to faith in the King's Son, whose death atones for all our sin, and who in our baptism has clothed each one of us with the spotless robe of his Son's blood and righteousness. How often my thoughts turn to that simple hymn, "Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my jewels are, my glorious dress. In these before my God I'll stand when I shall reach the heavenly land." In St. John's vision of the heavenly land, he sees the marriage supper of the Lamb, of which the sacrament we now celebrate is both the pledge and the foretaste. Jesus, thy feast we celebrate, we show thy death, we sing thy name, till thou return and we shall eat the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.